When you were growing up as a little child, did anyone ever say to you, maybe your parents, your mother, your father, say something like this to you? Don't eat that. It's not good for you. You hear that? Don't eat that. It's not good for you. Eat this. You know. But whatever the this was, we liked that. Anyone have that happen? Or maybe you still have that happen, you know? I mean, you're watching your blood sugar, you're watching your cholesterol, and your spouse, your partner, a dear friend says to you, you know, don't eat that, it's not good for you. Don't do that, you know? And yet we're drawn to it, aren't we? We're oftentimes drawn to stuff that's not good food. Hold on to that thought for a second. I'm going to circle back to that. For these last few weeks, we've been reading the Gospels on Sunday from John's Gospel, chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Chapter 6 of John's Gospel is oftentimes referred to as kind of the Eucharistic bread of life chapter, you know, week after week after week, very much a common message of Jesus being the bread of life. He who eats eats this bread, drinks this cup, is I am present. It's a rich, rich theology. And today, once again, we hear this sense of Jesus being the bread of life, the bread of life. And I want to share a couple of quotes with you. Sometimes I like to do this. It's one is a quote that I engaged with earlier in the week, and it's really shaped my thinking as I've tried to put together some thoughts today. It's a quote from St. Augustine, one of the great early saints of the church. It's only 6 words, so you can probably remember this if you can. This is the quote that I found very, very just inviting us to think. St. Augustine said, "Christ is the bread awaiting hunger. Christ is the bread awaiting hunger. Christ is the bread awaiting hunger." Sit with that. The sense that Christ is the bread of life, waiting for our hunger to be fed and to be nourished. And can we truly get to that hunger? Richard Rohr has a thought on that quote that I'd like to share with you as well. It's a longer quote, but I want to read it to you deliberately and with some emphasis on that quote. "Christ is the bread awaiting hunger." Richard Rohr shares, "The Eucharist is telling us that God is the food, and all we have to do is provide the hunger. Somehow, we have to make sure that each day we are hungry, that there's room inside of us for another presence. If you are filled with your own opinions, with your own ideas, with your own righteousness or superiority or sufficiency, you are a world unto yourself. And there is no room for another. Despite all our attempts to define who is worthy and who is not worthy to receive communion, our only ticket or prerequisite for coming to Eucharist is hunger. And most often, sinners are more hungry than the saints." Do you hear that sense of that hunger? Christ is the bread awaiting our hunger. But sometimes we get taken with satisfying that hunger with a way that we shouldn't be about. It's not nourishing. This isn't just about food, but on, you know, on a deeper level. What are we consuming? What is taking up our energy that if someone could say to us, "Stop eating that stuff. It's not leading you. It's not leading you to the true food that can feed the true hunger in our lives." So often we can fill that hunger with lots of things, our own ideas, our opinions, our, you know, and we can become with a sense of superiority. We can enter into a sense of kind of I've got it all. And yet there's still this emptiness. You know, and how can we be called to the food that really can nourish us, the food that can really satisfy that hunger. Christ is saying, Christ is the bread awaiting our hunger. And sometimes we fill that hunger with stuff that's maybe not good for us. Or we get taken up with things that are just not nourishing, not enriching, not allowing us to flourish and be who we can be as a people of God. You know, the other night I was at home and I was watching the news, catching up on the news and flipping around. And, you know, no matter where we are on the political spectrum, I sat there saying to myself, I've had enough. This is not nourishing. This is not feeding that deep hunger. If anything, it is dividing, it is separating, it's splitting. It's not leading to wholeness. It's not leading to flourishing. How can we satisfy that deep hunger? That's the journey we're on. But it begins, I think, by realizing that sometimes we're trying to fill that hunger with junk food, with stuff that's not going to nourish us or lead us to wholeness in our lives. And I think that's the invitation today. I think we come here week after week to this table to be fed by the Eucharist, to bring our hunger, our true hunger, our real hunger. And it may take a while to figure out how that hunger is satisfied, how that hunger is healed and made whole again, how we can flourish. But I think that sense of coming together to be fed and nourished at the table is significant for us. And it's such a powerful, powerful image of Christ being the bread of life for us. I want to end with just one thought from someone from another faith tradition, and it's Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi. Once said, when he was talking about the Christian tradition, he said, what's amazing about, and I'm paraphrasing, what's amazing about Christianity is this Christ, that God became human. And that to be a follower of Christ is not just about, it's not about, Christ didn't come, he says, and leave teachings or dogmas or doctrines or rules or regulations. Jesus came as bread. Jesus came as food. And whoever is hungry can be fed. What a powerful, powerful image. From someone from another faith tradition, we come to be fed the Eucharist, not just at this table, but for every opportunity we have to be nourished in our lives together, in the relationships we share, in the relationships this community of St. Paul's provides for us, and as we go forth into the world, to be Eucharist to our world, to feed and nourish a world that is hungry. Christ is the bread. We are nourished by that bread. May we go forth into a hungry world.